pretty cool story out of the University of Alberta where one of its meteorite experts discovered two new minerals, minerals never seen naturally on Earth. Now, get this. It all started when a 70-gram piece of a huge meteorite found in Somalia was sent to the U of A. What happened next? Pretty special. Let's find out more with Chris Hurd, who is a professor in the Department of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences. Hey, Chris, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jalen.
All right, I was trying to remember, and as I was about to say the size of the meteor, was it 15 tons or 5 tons?
15 tons. It ends up being the ninth largest in the world.
Wow. Okay, tell me more about this meteorite. It was found in Somalia, had been, I saw a picture of it, looked like it just been sitting in a field for ages.
Yeah, out in a natural area near a place called El Ali or Seal Kali in the local language, and it's gives the name of the meteorite. It's called the El Ali meteorite, but apparently it was known for generations of camel herders who stopped to sharpen their tools on the stone.
And it's magnetic.
It is magnetic because it's an iron meteorite. It's just a solid chunk of iron nickel metal, essentially.
So when did someone finally decide to take a closer look at this hunk of rock out in this that natural area?
The fall of 2020. And then they took a piece off and sent it some to me and some to UCLA. And then working with them, we kind of put our heads together and analyses together and classified the meteorite.
Okay, so give me an idea. So when you get this, the 70-gram piece of this 15-ton meteorite and start taking a look at it, what did you notice that made you think, there could be something really interesting in here?
Yeah, so I was trying to get a pretty thorough description of it, on the micro scale for the classification, just sort of to write it up. And I noticed some minerals in there that I couldn't really identify. So we did the classification, got it named, et cetera, and it wasn't until earlier this year that I had an opportunity to delve into it in more detail. So working with my colleague, Dr. Andrew Locock, who runs the Electron Microprobe Lab, we identified these new minerals.
These new minerals that I'm going to get you to say.
Well, one of them is called El Aliite because minerals are often named after where they're found. So because this was found in a meteorite called El Ali, it's known as El Aliite.
Okay.
And then the other one is called Elkins Tantanite, and that is a nod to my colleague, Dr. Lindy Elkins Tantan, who is a professor at Arizona State, a colleague and who is an expert in the study of planetary cores and iron, possibly iron asteroids. And she's actually the principal investigator of the NASA mission that's being sent next year to the iron-rich asteroid Psyche.
Oh, very, very cool. All right. So I had read that these minerals had been created synthetically before. Is that correct?
Exactly. So they're iron and phosphorus, or iron phosphates for any chemists in the audience. But so they're not made of anything sort of out of the ordinary. It's the ratio of the iron to the phosphorus and the oxygen that in there that's different. But yes, they had been grown synthetically in a lab in the 1980s. And so all the information about them, the crystal structure, that sort of thing was known, but they've just never been found in nature before.
So there's another one that you're looking at as well?
There's another one I can't talk much about because it's under consideration by the committee, the naming committee. But yeah, there's at least one more new mineral in there, and there could be more.
So new minerals, what does this mean in the grand scheme of things, Chris?
Well, every time there's a particular mineral, it means that the conditions were such that that mineral formed instead of something else. Like there's other minerals that are iron phosphates or other phosphate type minerals that we find in meteorites and elsewhere. It just happened that the specific conditions in this meteorite formed these two new minerals specifically and nothing else, and as opposed to something else. And so that tells us something about the specific conditions that were there to produce those minerals. And that's where we sort of, that's the excitement because it allows us to probe the geology of this piece of rock that was once part of an asteroid.
Yeah, I'm curious to know what it could lead to for finding more out about the meteorite specifically. So, it's pretty fascinating. It's like way above my pay grade, Chris, but I think it's really, really cool. So what do you do with this now?
Well, we have to basically continue with the interpretation of what the minerals mean, and basically trying to constrain those conditions and say why these minerals are found in this particular meteorite and not in other meteorites or in other places. So that'll be the task next. And so there's still a fair amount of work ahead of us. But for now, it's just the excitement of, hey, we found two new minerals in a meteorite.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. My goodness. I mean, is this like kind of hitting the jackpot for someone who does what you do?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I never thought I'd be describing one new mineral, let alone two or more. It really is lucky. Most people in my profession, unless they're actively, you know, in the business of looking for new minerals in different places, don't typically come across these or have this opportunity. So it's pretty special.
Okay, before I let you go, I have to see if you can. Is there any update on the Perseverance rover mission and what's happening on that front with the collection of the samples, that sort of thing?
Sure. Yeah, we can change gears and talk about that. we're just about to collect our first sample of regolith or soil, which we haven't done before. And when that's done, we're going to drive over to this nice flat area. And we've been collecting two of every sample so far. We're going to put one of each pair of samples down in a depot, leave them there on the ground, and then we'll take the ones that we keep on board, drive on up, and continue on our way for the next several years collecting more samples. And the reason we're putting that depot down is basically insurance against something happening to the rover in the future. So we'll put down about 10 or 11 samples that will be kind of a backup cache or depot in case something happens to the rover.
And everything's
working
well.
So that'll be a major accomplishment, because basically we'll have put down samples that people could go and collect in the future.
Ah, very cool. And the actual process of collecting is going well? Everything's been working well?
There's been a few hiccups, as to be expected, but everything has worked really well. Yeah, I mean, it's really still amazes me that we can do this on another planet, to carefully choose and seal up the rock cores and be able to think about returning them to Earth someday.
Chris, you have a lot of really cool things going on in your world these days, eh? Like, you'd be fascinating as a dinner guest, you know that.
Thanks.
I need you to come over for Christmas dinner, okay? Oh, my goodness. Chris, always enjoy our conversations. Looking forward to doing it again. Thank you so much. Oh, hey, sorry, I'm going to jump back to the meteorite again. I know I'm a little bit all over the place here, but where is that 15-ton hunk of meteorite right now? Because it seems to have disappeared.
Well, it was taken out of the country. Reportedly, it's in China. The owners are looking for someone to buy it. But one of the things about it is that every meteorite like this, and we're familiar with it in this province too, the Manitou Stone it's been at the Royal Alberta Museum, has significance for First Nations people, and it's going to be repatriated soon, which is great. It would be great for the same type of thing to happen with this meteorite, or at least to have some recognition within Somalia about the significance of the stone, and it would be a shame to have it cut up into pieces. So we're hoping that something good comes out of it that makes everybody happy, everybody involved happy. So it's still to be determined.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, take care. Chris Hurd, again, a professor in the Department of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences, curator of the University of Alberta's meteorite collection, helped to identify two new minerals in this ninth largest meteorite ever found in the world. And again, it had been in a field in an open area in Somalia for years, and goat herders knew about it. People would go there to sharpen their knives, that sort of thing. And someone finally took a closer look at it back in 2022. So that's really cool. Plus an update on Perseverance and Mars rover, what it's doing. As I said, Chris got a lot of cool things going on right now. We'll talk about metal.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.